Blog Talk Radio.
And there you have it, a beautiful start to our program. And this is John Carpenter, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week, we take a close look at one of the visits of the apparitions of the Virgin Mary. She has been appearing to us for centuries, and it's not something that we dreamed up. It's something that keeps happening all around the world, and people keep documenting these supernatural visits. It's not something anyone expected or predicted, and yet they keep happening consistently, even up to the present day. Yes, they're happening right now, somewhere And we have a lead on a couple of the places, but it always takes a while to get good information. For example, Kibeho, Rwanda happened between 1981 to 1989. We didn't hear about it until about 2008 in terms of all the details. So it takes a while sometimes to get all the good information, perhaps in a book form or some kind of article or some kind of investigative report. So things, though, keep happening. They started in 40 AD, and documents show we have almost 3,000 of them occurring since then in less than 2,000 years. So that's pretty impressive. Anyway, we like to look at all the details on this show so that you can learn about it. This is educational for you and hopefully inspirational then. I know when I first started researching them, I was a convert in the year 2010 to the Catholic faith, and I had no idea that all this was going on. I just didn't hear about it, didn't learn about it, and yet millions of people visit these shrines and these sites every year all around the world because it's a very strong part of the Catholic faith. And also other faiths, Muslims and Hindus and Coptics and all different other faiths are also respecting our Blessed Mother. So it's quite interesting to see the reaction around the world. She's even appeared to atheists and anti-Catholics and had quite an impact on them. They were never the same again. So it shows you what a supernatural encounter can do for you. And so this is very important that we take a look at these things because we learn a lot. And as I started researching, you know, most Catholics knew about five, maybe six apparitions they could name. And I found a book called Those Who Saw Her, and it listed about 15 or 16 approved apparitions. And as I read that, I realized, wow, the same things are happening all over the world. No matter what country or what culture or what decade or what century, it was amazing to me, and it lit my fire to start digging deeper. And that's when I came across a massive list of them, and I started researching all the ones that had, you know, good documentation. And I've read and studied about 101 now, which isn't many out of almost 3,000, but it's some of the best documented ones and approved. So that is very helpful. So then my mission was to share it with the world. Well, you know, people say that, but I didn't expect to actually be sharing it with the world as we are here. This show has reached 200-some countries. We are so grateful that people all over the world are tuning in and are learning about our Blessed Mother. She is the Queen of Heaven. She is our mother. And what can be more important than to learn about our Heavenly Mother? Assuming that we make it to heaven, hopefully, then she will be there. I also know she's also one of the main figures that comes to purgatory. So there she's known as the Mother of Mercy. And she makes frequent visits to purgatory. So she's always helping her children wherever they are. If you've gone to hell, you're not going to see her. So, but that's because you probably didn't believe in her or God or anything else. So anyway, that's another story. We won't get into that right now. Anyway, as always, I like to welcome my team. First off, I believe we have Ian now operating not the network, but he's still in Kansas. Is this Mr. Donald Hartley I just pulled on?
Yep, that'd be me. I was calling in.
Well,
I'm having trouble with my system, so I do appreciate you for taking the controls there tonight there, John.
Yes, you picked a nice song. I didn't know what was going to happen, so you picked a nice song for us. Beautiful. Who was singing that? Was that Donna Lee or Donna?
Yeah, that's
Gibson?
Donna Lee.
It's a beautiful song. Beautiful. So we appreciate that. So tell everyone about what happened your system, since I'm operating the studio tonight and you called in. So tell us.
Well,
about it.
It's something about it's hard to tell you. It's just I guess I had some viruses that hit me yesterday, and it's still affecting me right now, in fact. So I'm going to have to take it down and have it fixed. But, you know, just listen a little bit to your monologue. Did you know that the Taliban there in Afghanistan and that 7th century style Muslim Islamic jihad, that being a Christian is a capital offense? That, in fact, Christians that are in Afghanistan now as a result of our pullout are in, I mean, there were 300 known Christians that we were tracking, only 55 are left.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
The rest have been beheaded, you know, chased down. So that's what's happening now. So we need to pray for them. But, you know, as far as that radical jihadism, so we need to definitely pray for the world that where this is, where they have hold and a foothold. So Our Lady, yeah, she can touch the heart of anyone when she appears to you. No question about that. And hopefully she is the number one evangelist. She's bringing everybody to her son.
Yeah, that'd be a great place for her to appear, is in Kabul or, you know, anywhere in Afghanistan. That would create quite a stir. It might bring the Taliban to their knees. It does. I don't care what faith you are. If you encounter the Virgin Mary, it's a very overpowering experience, and she makes sure of it. So,
well, you know, the same would be true. The same would be true with Jesus. Jesus appearing would make that kind of, when anyone of anybody that Jesus or Mary appears to, that's going to have a lot of, what would you say, an impact on that person's life.
Yeah.
Even to the point
Absolutely.
Where they would be willing to give their life. That's exactly it.
Right. In fact, in all my research, I've never seen in my research where people have encountered Mary or Jesus and then just gone back to a normal way of life. It just never happens. Their lives are changed forever. They are changed forever. Everyone around them is changed. And the whole community, the whole area is changed by it. I've never seen anyone just go, okay, well, that was interesting. Now let's go back to work, you know. No. It doesn't work like that. So
I'd say the same thing would be true. Last thing, I think this would be true for any of us who accept Jesus and Mary in our own home. I think that is such an important aspect of it, to accept our Lord.
Right.
So.
Okay, well, we're going to bring on some of our team here. We've got John, the Virginian. Say howdy.
Hey, how you guys doing this evening?
Hey, John.
We're doing great. And we got Michael from New Jersey. Hey there, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, John?
I'm doing great.
Looking forward to doing some traveling tonight.
Yeah, we're going to Japan tonight. Not a place people would think Mary would show up, but she sure did. And then we've got, this might be Kathy. Is this Kathy from Missouri?
Yep, it's me, John. Hello,
Hi,
everybody.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Mike.
And we've got another person from your area, Kathy, in Missouri, a 573 area code, pulling him on right now. And this person might be just wanting to listen. Or who do we have?
This is Kathy, one of the BFFers, best friends, framers, and I'll probably just listen.
Okay. Well,
so we've got dueling Kathys and dueling Johns tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're doing great then. All right, Kathy, well, I'll let you just listen. And if you want to chime in, just I think you push – what button you push, Donald? Just like one or something? And
I would just open it up, just like you did us.
All right, very good. Okay. Well, now that everyone's tuned in, anybody have a comment before we start?
Yeah, you know, you talked about the book that you read that first introduced you to how many Marian apparitions there were. I knew the, obviously, Fatima, you know, every Catholic knows about Fatima, but the book that introduced me to the fact that there are a lot of them was a book called A Woman Clothed with the Sun, which I read during the 1980s. And that kind of, yeah, and well, I knew, you know, about Fatima, obviously Lourdes, but then I started finding out about Minot and Bering and Knock and La Salette and some of these others.
Right.
But Der Vandal and Zeitun Egypt, which you've covered recently, were two of the ones that I heard about but didn't know many details about. And tonight falls into that category, too. I've heard of Akita Japan. I've seen a picture of the crying statue, but that's all I know. So I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Okay. Oh, it's quite a story. That'll be good. That'll be good. And, guys, I have to admit, it's so sad not to have Judy coming on with her poems. That always filled a wonderful spot in our show, and I keep wanting to look for her number and bring her on, and sadly we can't do that, as many of you might not know that she passed away about 2 weeks ago. So we are sad to have lost such a wonderful, warm, terrific center in our program. She was truly a blessing to all of us, and I just know she's having a great time in heaven, and I'm quite envious of that glorious, beautiful place that she's no doubt in. So,
hey John,
I talked with
Paul, and they're going to have a memorial set up in where they live in Beaumont, where they live. The funeral or services will be held. And that will be on the 23rd of September. But on the 25th of September, she's going to be transferred to New Orleans, and that's where they'll have another memorial service there, and she will be buried there in New Orleans. So I'll get out all the information there. So, you know, we definitely would like to send some flowers there. Yeah, because they have to wait till the 25th of September in order to do so because of the hurricane and the, I guess, the virus.
Oh.
So
sure.
that was the issue that Paul was saying. And he hadn't had any results yet that has come back yet. It usually takes a month or so before all that comes in.
Okay.
So,
well, keep us updated. That's great. That's great. All right, guys. Well, if you're ready, we'll head for Japan. And like I said, many people don't think Mary goes anywhere but like France and Italy and Germany and places in Europe, because we hear so much about those places. But this is proof she goes everywhere. And Akita Japan was actually a pretty crucial one. She had a lot of interesting things there. It was in the years 1973 through 1981, 8 years there in Akita, Japan. The main visionary was named Agnes Katsuko Sasagawa, and she was born in 1931, and she was always a frail child. She had her appendix removed at age 19, but due to a hospital error, imagine that, a hospital error with the anesthesia, she became paralyzed. After 10 years of paralytic immobility and being cared for by a Catholic nun, she made a spontaneous and miraculous recovery. So in May of 1973, she entered the convent of the Handmaids of the Eucharist in Yuzawadai a suburb of Akita. 1 month earlier, she had suddenly been afflicted with total deafness. That's a hard thing. Here she's totally deaf and entering into that kind of life. But on June 12, 1973, Sister Agnes Sasagawa, now age 42, entered the convent chapel focused on preparing for the Eucharist. She was still adjusting to her recent loss of all hearing. Suddenly, as she approached the altar to open the tabernacle door, a brilliant light broke forth, brighter and whiter than the sun. Overwhelmed, she dropped to her knees and prayed for the whole next hour, feeling as if she was being held there by some heavy force. She was able to leave after that. The next day, as she opened the tabernacle door again, the brilliant light poured forth once more. Now, guys, that would do it for me. If I saw the brilliant light coming out of the tabernacle, I'd be like, okay. Well, on the third day, June 14th, a red flame encompassed the white light inside the tabernacle, but no other nuns had seen this, quote, tabernacle fire, unquote. The fourth sighting occurred on the eve of the Feast of the Sacred Heart and had the addition of an adoring crowd of spiritual beings or angels who were clearly worshiping the host on the altar. Now, I'll stop there just for a second. That's an amazing bunch of supernatural things happening right off the bat. And notice how she was on her knees and feeling held there by a heavy force, something that we hear from visionaries. Any comments or reactions from anybody?
Well, go ahead there, John.
Go ahead.
The flame inside the tabernacle kind of brought to mind the burning bush. That's all I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
I can see that as well, but I also look at the brightness, you know, the transfiguration. And see, with just those two examples, you can see how biblical all this is, just from the character that we're seeing. Yeah, so that's two examples right there.
Absolutely. And, of course, it reminds me of a woman clothed in the sun, you know, that whole experience, although we haven't seen Mary yet, just the idea of the brilliant sun-like light that's coming forth. All right. Well, on June 28th, she experienced a sharp pain in the palm of her left hand. A small rose-colored cross was etched across her palm and remained painfully for 3 days. But on July 5th, pain returned in her left hand, and it bled more than she could conceal from others. Tears flowed from her eyes as she let another nun help bandage her hand. This was no illusion. At night, she rose to pray at 3 a.m., and a voice came to her despite her deafness. Now, that's a good trick. A voice came to her despite her deafness and said, quote, "Be not afraid. Pray with fervor, not only because of your sins, but in reparation for those of all people. The world today wounds the most sacred heart of our Lord by its ingratitude and injuries. The wounds of Mary are much deeper and more sorrowful than yours. Let us go to pray in the chapel together," unquote. And suddenly, a beautiful figure stood next to her right shoulder. Quote, "I am the one who is with you and watches over you." It was her guardian angel. The angel led her to the chapel and then disappeared. Sister Agnes approached a tall wooden statue of Mary and knelt before her. Suddenly, the statue became instantly ablaze and bathed in a brilliant light, as if the statue was coming to life. Though deaf, she heard the statue speak to her. Quote, "My daughter, my novice, you have obeyed me well in abandoning all to follow me. Do you suffer much because of the handicap which deafness causes you? You will be assuredly healed. Be patient. It is the last trial. Does the wound in your hand give you pain? Pray in reparation for the sins of humanity. Each person in this community is my irreplaceable daughter. Pray very much for the Pope, bishops, and priests. Since your baptism, you have always prayed faithfully for them. Continue to pray very much." I'm going to stop right there for a second. That's a lot said by Mary, and we're getting the picture of what's going on here. Any comments, any reactions?
We have a Lanzetti compass right there. A Lanzetti compass is 360 degrees. And what we have in the Bible, 360 occasions where we're called to be not afraid. And we've been told that by many of the saints. Pope St. John Paul II, that was a major theme of his, Be Not Afraid. In fact, that's one of my favorite songs. When I went to Korea, my theme song in Korea was Be Not Afraid. So it's just something that I think is very fascinating. So I thought that was number one. John, do you have another one? We like to do teamwork on this.
Well, I'm interested in hearing more of the statue because, like I said, all I've seen like memes or whatever of Our Lady of Akita, and then I see this wooden crying statue, and that's all that I know about this particular apparition. So, it's very interesting because it seems like there's more to it than that from what John is getting into. So I'm enraptured.
Yeah. Great. Well, the next morning, Sister Agnes asked Sister Kotaki to inspect the statue. She found a cross-shaped wound bleeding in the right hand of the wooden statue of Mary. Now, remember, Agnes had the same cross-shaped wound in her hand, and in the statue, the wooden statue of Mary, is a corresponding cross-shaped bleeding wound. Sometimes it gushed blood profusely. Sister Agnes's hand continued to have bouts of intense pain as well. Sister Agnes's wound appeared on Thursday evenings, and it grew worse on Fridays and disappeared each Sunday, as if commemorating the passion and death of Jesus. On July 26th, the feast of St. Anne, the mother of the Virgin Mary, her wound became more painful than ever. At the same time, the statue in the chapel began to bleed more profusely. She went to Bishop Ito to reveal her pain and suffering. He advised going to a doctor, but she went to the chapel first to pray for strength. There, she suddenly heard the voice of the angel again. Quote, "Our pain will come to an end today. Pray to the Sacred Heart and the Precious Blood. Pray for the sins of the whole world. Tell the bishop that the blood is shed today for the last time." Unquote. At once, the pain left, and the wound in her hand was healed. But get a load of this. The statue also ceased its bleeding at the same moment, though the imprint of the wound remained in the wood. What do you think of that?
Did they ever test what blood type that might have been, or is there anything that says that?
Yeah, we're getting to it. We're just starting here. But that's something a lot of people didn't realize, that there was corresponding stigmata in Sister Agnes's hand and at the same time the hand of Mary on that statue, which is very interesting. And when it went away on the statue at the same time. So it's just a real supernatural link there, just a really beautiful story. So, all right, on August 3rd, she heard the statue of Mary state to her, quote, "Many men in this world grieve the Lord. I seek souls to console him. In order to appease the anger of the Heavenly Father, I wish with my son to search for souls who will make reparations for sinners and for the ungrateful by offering up their sufferings and poverty to God on their behalf. In order that the world might know the wrath of the Heavenly Father toward today's world, he is preparing to inflict a great chastisement on all mankind. Mm-hmm. With my son, many times, I have tried to appease the wrath of the Heavenly Father. I have prevented the coming of the chastisement by offering the sufferings of his son on the cross, his precious blood, and the compassionate souls who console the Heavenly Father, a cohort of victim souls overflowing with love, prayer, penance, honest poverty, and courageous acts of sacrifices can soften his anger. Obedience is the foundation of all things," unquote. All right, I'll stop there for a moment. That was quite a lot that she said. Reaction?
Well, you know, one for me today, after I went to Mass at the 8 o'clock Mass, and I was asked last week, actually, if I would pray the rosary before Mass, and what a wonderful opportunity that was to be able to pray the rosary before Mass at the 10 o'clock Mass, and in that rosary, I prayed some of these prayers at the end that we normally pray with the rosary patrol, and it was just, I felt so honored to be able to do that. And I think that that is what Our Lady is calling us to do, and our Lord is wanting us to do, to console. I think that, you know, that's the human part of Jesus. Jesus was 100% human as well. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. And so we attempt to console. And I think that's a good idea. I think that's a good thing for us to do. And we should do that at home. Mm-hmm. We should do that at church, wherever we're at. And so what Our Lady is calling us to do, I think that that's heaven's plan, the Fatima plan. Really, this is what it all amounts to.
Yeah, very good. Any other comments?
Yeah.
Kathy?
All right.
John, I was just going to say, this one is really strange, really different, because that it is the statue that's Mary's communicating through the statue is kind of unusual. But I was kind of struck by the wound of the visionary corresponding with the wound of Mary through the statue. I've heard of it corresponding to the wounds of Jesus, but in this case, it almost seems like it's Mary that has the wound on the hand, which is, it's unusual. And the second thing I wanted to ask you is kind of an oddball question, kind of a larger macro type question is, Mary in many of these apparitions, Fatima is another one that comes to mind, has asked the visionaries if they're willing to suffer for reparation for the sins against the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And that's, you know, that's great for the visionaries. What advice would you give to actual ordinary people? Because I know that sometimes Jesus requires people to suffer for different reasons. And sometimes it's temporal punishment, atonement for sin, and sometimes it's in reparation. So what advice would you give to someone to actually kind of discern what the purpose of suffering that's allowed in that God has allowed in their life, or is there any way?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's so different with each person in their lives. We all have crosses that we bear. We all have our challenges and our struggles, and perhaps it's just making that link, making that recognition that we are suffering and that we can give up that suffering for some purpose, to console Jesus or for the benefit of somebody. You know, it's just, it's not something that people other than Catholic ever think about. I mean, and even a lot of Catholics don't think about it, but I have a lot thinking about when I suffer, to see it as a chance to offer that pain up and to have it do good somewhere. And I just give it to Jesus or Mary, and they'll take care of it. They'll put it where it needs to go. And it's a different kind of concept, but I think it makes, when I hurt or suffer, I think it gives me a chance to feel like I'm doing good with my pain, just like Jesus did good with his pain. And I know that Mother Teresa said once that you are most closely connected to Jesus when you are in pain and you connect with his pain. And I always remember that she made that point. Other comments?
St. Paul mentioned that in Colossians chapter 1:24, that St. Paul talks about that his pain on behalf of the church, where what Jesus did on the cross is effective for everybody, but it's on us. We need to be hooked into that. And that's what St. Paul is referring to there. Would you agree with that there, John?
Donald, and I'll take it a little bit further, because one of the things in the pregame show, so to speak, that John asked me about is how all the reading is going. And two of the books that I've read so far this year that I was really floored by, really struck by, said the same thing, and that is Dark Night of the Soul by St. John of the Cross and Sister Faustina's Diary, that the particular suffering of feeling abandoned by God is when he is most united to you, because he plunged himself in that suffering in particular when he said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that's an irony there that'll make your head explode if you try to think about it too much, that in the period that we feel like God is farthest from us, he's actually closest to us. And only God could pull off a paradox like that. That's just amazing when you think about it.
That certainly happened with Mother Teresa. She had years of spiritual dryness, and she wondered where Jesus was. But as you were saying, he was more closely connected there, and we certainly know all her miracles and all her wonderful things that led to sainthood. There's no doubt that she was still connected. So, and to answer your question, too, about Mary having this wound along with Sister, I think that was Mary's way of showing her connection to Sister Agnes, like bonding, like saying, you have a wound, you're suffering, look, I have in the same place on my hand, and we're all feeling this for Jesus. But I think it was her way of linking, because when the sister lost her stigmata, immediately the statue lost it too. So it was like they were linked. And just,
well, let me tell you how I interpret it, and you tell me if you think I'm off base here, because this was the interpretation that came into my. And, you know, my feeble brain gets things wrong all the time, so let me know if I'm off track. But we're told that sufferings can be graces. And in this particular case, the suffering of the stigmata is certainly a grace. It's certainly it's painful, but it's a grace. It's a, it's a, it, it has tremendous redemptive value. And it's a sign. It's a sign for others. And we know that all graces pass through Mary. All graces that are given to us by Christ pass through Mary. And I kind of interpreted this as Mary through the statue is showing a visible sign that this grace passed through her to the visionary. Am I off base there?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of ways to look at it, and that's as good as any. Absolutely. Well, moving on September 29th, with another nun at her side, Sister Agnes saw the statue of Mary ablaze with light again. And for the first time, her companion saw it too. Her companion nun sitting next to her also saw the unearthly light and gasped with excitement. So that's really impressive. The statue's hands glowed brightly, and the wound was healed finally. So the mark, I guess, went away. But later that night, when the statue glowed again, tears began flowing from the statue's eyes. And the tears had a wonderful fragrance of flowers like roses that persisted in the air for 17 days. Wow. We know we've talked about the smell of flowers and roses, and that is known among the saints as the odor of sanctity. And here it's appearing with the tears coming from the statue's eyes. The tears smelled like roses for 17 days. But, folks, we have a real bonus here. We may hear about weeping statues, but we don't usually hear the statue telling us why they're crying. And here, Sister Agnes gets this message from Mary. Quote, I am weeping because humanity is not accepting my motherly invitation to conversion. Public signs of my immense sorrow are not believed in. Man is becoming ever more corrupt, godless, wicked, and cruel. Now, this is in 1973. We've gotten worse since then. A chastisement worse than the flood is about to come upon this poor and perverted humanity. Fire will descend from heaven. This will be the sign that God, in his justice, has, as of now, fixed the hour of his great manifestation. I am weeping because the church is continuing along the road of division, of loss of the true faith. I am weeping because in great numbers the souls of my children are being lost and going to hell. Prepare yourselves to receive Christ in the splendor of his glory, because the great day of the Lord has even now arrived. Okay, I'll pause there. Wow. Comments?
But think of, you know, just something that, because a lot of times I hear you many times, John, try to compliment all people who have witnessed these things in other places from other different faiths. And do we see a progression where a lot of these people, as a result of these, converting to the Catholic faith, becoming followers of Jesus, as a result of this? The news ain't going to report that. It's not.
No.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So only God can know the heart and what's internal. All I know is that what the church reports when it comes to when it reports yearly how many have been received into the church through RCIA and baptism and these things, the numbers. But when you're going into Egypt and the Middle East, those numbers are not either brought forth because of it could be a dangerous thing, like I was saying earlier, that among certain sects of Islam, the jihad, it would be a death sentence. And so that's that's kind of so we don't know, but it would be interesting. I guess we won't know until we find our way in heaven one day that what that will actually be. And so, but I would like to think that because of these apparitions, that a major shift towards Christ is taking place. But from what Our Lady's saying, though, maybe from the secularism and commercialism that we're seeing, for example, in the United States, and are drifting away from Christianity into paganism, that would be offensive to our Lord. With all the blessings that this country was given, you think about all that and how much we're turned away from it. So that might be part of what Our Lady is talking about. But there's much of the world, the third world countries, that don't have a whole lot, but where are they? And that's only the, the question.
She says that, just a minute, when she said that the people aren't believing in this, she's not referring just to Japan. She always is talking about the whole world when she talks about the people. You might think she's just talking about Japan, but no, she's talking about people all over the world aren't believing. And so I just wanted to make that clear. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I am zeroing in on where Mary is quoted as saying, "I am weeping because the church is continuing along the road of division, of loss of the true faith." And I'm wondering if this is a veiled reference to what we now know was going on during that time, this sex scandal that, among priests and other church officials, and the covering up of fame. Because that was going on when Mary spoke these words.
Oh, yeah.
And when he says, when she says loss of the true faith, Jesus promised he would be with us. He will be with us until the end of time. Well, if there is a loss of the true faith, that sort of conveys the opposite thought.
With Mike, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 refers to the great apostasy in the last times, that the Antichrist himself would not be known until that time of the apostasy. One out of every 10 Americans, for example, would be statistically a fallen away Catholic, which would be what? An apostate. So that, I'm sure that does, as far as the Lord is concerned, you know, the Lord loves us all so much that he would leave the 99. This is Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 3. He would leave the 99 to go after the one that has gone astray. And when he finds that one, that there's much joy in heaven. And we see that also again with St. James, you know, James chapter 5, 19 through 20, that if someone has gone astray from the truth and then another brings them back, maybe what John the Virginian might have said, maybe something you might have said, Mike, maybe something that John Carpenter might have said, something that somewhere along the way that somebody said something that brings someone back. Know that you have saved the soul from death and canceled a multitude of sin. It is so important for the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, to come back, to come home. And that's really the heart of what Our Lady is saying in all of this, to be honest. That's what it's all the signs, everything is for the benefit to reach us, to get us in the right direction. That's what all of this is about.
Hey, John, if I could fire two quick questions at you. Question number one is, I'm wondering where these apparitions are in the approval process. And question number two, you brought up a good point about how good it would be for Mary to appear in Kabul or China or North Korea. Do we know that that's not occurring? Is it being suppressed by the media, or is there a particular reason why Mary is not going to those areas?
Well, if she has appeared, the Taliban aren't exactly telling us about it. That may be well buried for a while if she's making appearances. But If it happened, we'll hear about it eventually. It's just, sadly, we don't hear about things until a good 5, 10, 20 years later. So it's just the way it's been, and it takes a while for good information to get out. A little quicker these days with emails and certain social media things. We do have a faster way of finding out that things are happening. We just may not get all the details yet.
Well, we know that Our Lady has appeared in China. One of my favorites.
Yeah. She sure
you know,
has. Yep.
1900. Yep.
Yep.
And the status of the approval of Akita?
Yes, approved by the Vatican.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know
yep.
that.
Yep.
Okay.
It's one that definitely got approval. All right, going on, and then we'll wrap up this story. On October 13th, the 57th anniversary of the last apparition at Fatima, Sister Agnes was healed from deafness during the benediction of that church service and was delighted at hearing the church bells ring. So just as Mary promised, there would be a healing of her deafness. She telephoned the bishop, Ito, to report that Mary's promise of restoring her hearing had come true. If you think about it, she couldn't have made the phone call unless she could hear the bishop on the other end. So
I'm sure he was impressed.
Yeah, that's right. So that was good for him. On January 4th, 1975, one of the nuns ran to the office of their chaplain, Father Yasuda, to tell him that the statue had begun to shed tears again. Was extraordinarily lifelike. The church documented a total of 101 incidents of the statue shedding tears over the next 6 years, finally ending on September 15th, 1981, the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. 101 times in 6 years. Professor Fiji... Hold on a sec. Professor E.G. Okuhara, a doctor and biochemist, analyzed three fluids coming from the wooden statue, blood, tears, and perspiration. A colleague, Dr. Karura Sagiskara, oh, I butchered that. What does it say? Karura Sagiskara. Okay, that's good enough. Was given the samples without any history and blindly made his conclusions, so he didn't know where they came from, and he said, the matter adhering to the gauze is human blood. The sweat and tears absorbed in the pieces of cotton are also of human origin. Repeated independent analyses revealed human blood of type B, tears and perspiration both of type AB. The statue continued to shed tears 12 times in 1978 and finally three more times in 1981. Some miracles were connected as well as a healing of a brain tumor. That was one example. Then Sister Agnes lost her hearing again on March 6, 1975. Two doctors who examined her declared that she would never hear again. But on May 1st, 1982, the guardian angel told her that her hearing would be returned again, this time permanently. And it did happen on May 30th, the Feast of Pentecost. The two doctors could offer no explanation that would account for this miraculous healing. After three commissions studied the events at Akita, Bishop Ito finally declared at Easter in 1984 that these events were supernatural and worthy of belief. Cardinal Ratzinger of the Sacred Congregation in Rome declared in 1988 that the apparitions had been authentic revelations of the divine. So there you go. Now, some of you might think, wait a minute, that blood type. What about that blood type? That was Mary's, not Jesus's, blood type.
Right.
And you notice that there was an AB in that reading the blood type of the perspiration, and some of the blood was type AB, and Jesus, as we know, was type AB. So interesting indeed.
Well, that's important. I'm A positive myself, so anything that is even close to my blood type, I take as an honor.
That's reaching.
Hey, my birthday's October 12th, just the day before the 13th, which, you know,
there's nothing
cool
miraculous
being
about your birthday, Donald. Just sorry to bust your bubble there, but
oh, I know, I'm just having fun. This is good. This is
yeah,
really good. And then this story is really good. You know, this is important for us to be able to.
John in Virginia, you said you hadn't really heard this whole story before. What do you think now that you've heard all the details?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I wasn't aware that it was approved. I thought it was one that was still under investigation. And that's impressive that it's approved, because it's fairly recent, you know. In terms of the normal timeline of approval, but it's fascinating. I'm very, 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 very impressed. I kind of now have a new perspective on the crying statue and everything. And, that's been a phenomenon that's happened in the United States in various times. I don't know if you remember, a few years back, Father James Bruce, are you familiar with that?
Sounds familiar.
Is that down in New Mexico?
No.
No.
It was here in Virginia. He had the stigmata.
Oh.
And the statues of these various churches, were crying in his presence. And my mother was actually present at one of these when the Pilgrim Virgin statue of Fatima was making its rounds to the various parishes, and it happened to arrive at the church that she was at, Our Lady of Angels Parish in Woodbridge, at the same time that Father Bruce was present there, and the statue began crying, and it made some of the national, I think it was People Magazine, it was on the front of People Magazine. So that's crying statues is something that's been happening more and more frequently as a sign. Was this really the first documented apparition or were there some before then?
There were some before, but this one, because of the decade it was in, had scientists jumping on it a lot quicker. And the fact they had 101 occasions to study it, I mean, pictures and samples and blind tests, and, they could do a lot more, which added to proving that there was a supernatural character to this whole series. And I think that helped with the approval process.
When the statue is explaining to you why it's crying, I would say that would be unusual. So I could see where that would.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Well, think of
at the same time
what it says in Luke. What it says in Luke that when Jesus was going into the triumphant of Jerusalem, when he was entering into Jerusalem, and the Pharisees, they were freaked out. Why don't you tell them to stop this? Hail to the Son of David, Hosanna, and all this. And Jesus said that if they don't praise the Lord, the rocks will cry out. And so that's a very interesting.
That's one rock concert I don't want to see.
Oh, bad.
Hey, I'd like to get. Do we have any thought about any of this from either of our Kathys? Are they there still, Kathy?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm just wondering what you thought about this. What you thought about all this?
Well, this one I've read about before. I think I've read that the statues cry when things are bad, but the statues cry blood when chastisement is near. I don't know if that's true.
That could be.
Wow.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Any other comments?
You know, Cardinal Ratzinger became Pope Benedict the 16th.
Yeah, you caught that, didn't you? Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. And, you know, just recently, about a year or two ago, I remember this now. I don't have the quote, but Sister Sagagawa, she got another message from Mary just a year or two ago, and it was making big news on the internet, because those who were tuned into Akita were all excited that Mary had given her a new message. And I remember hearing the message. It wasn't anything earth-shattering or new or different, but it was just significant that she was starting to get messages again. So I don't know more about that, but you never know. You know, things might be heating up again, and we'll see if we hear more about that. So anyway, next week, I'm talking about Mary Goes Everywhere. We're going to Australia next week, all right?
The Down Under, Down Under.
That's right. We're going to Australia. And Geraldine is the visionary there, and it will probably be there several weeks. There's a lot of messages and some interesting, very interesting things, including getting to see her miscarried child in heaven. Oh my goodness, we've got some cool stuff coming. So yeah interesting things with this next one. So very nice trip to Australia starting next week. And as always, as we get near the end here, we'll be saying a rosary, not a rosary, but a Hail Mary. And we ask the whole world out there to join in, because we know that heaven's going to hear all our voices in unison all around the world at once. Think about that. All these voices in all these countries around the world, all at the same moment, saying a Hail Mary at the same second. And we believe that that will rise up to heaven and touch heaven's many hearts and all the saints and everybody up there, maybe Judy. Everybody will be hearing. Judy's going to hear it. You know she's going to hear it. She's probably listening in right now anyway. I just know she is.
Mm-hmm.
Because heaven always knows what's going on earth, as this whole thing with Akita was clear when Mary was giving her messages about the state of mankind. Heaven knows what's going on at every second, even before we understand ourselves what all is going on. Heaven always knows everything that's going on at every minute. So,
well,
anyway.
I can assure you, John, that I almost never understand what's going on. So heaven is way ahead of me.
Definitely. But that's a good thing, because that's, if you end up there, then you'll know it all. All right. Well, any last comments before I mute some of you for the Hail Mary? Because we don't want all our voices to jump all over each other here. Any other final comments?
Well,
all right.
It's just, this is the, Japan is just one of those areas. It's part of the Ring of Fire down there, and there's always earthquakes and typhoons and volcanoes and all these things that are happening in that area. And it would be interesting to see if in some of these Eucharistic miracles, for example, where it has had an effect of saving people. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. All right. So join with me now as we say a Hail Mary worldwide. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight, and we appreciate you and hope that this was helpful, interesting, inspirational, and if nothing else, educational. And next week, pack your bags. We'll be going to Australia. Any last words,
Australia,
Donald?
Oh, God I'm bless. Looking forward to. God bless you, everybody. And be ready to go pack your bags for Australia next week.
All right.
All right. Awesome.
All right. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me.